Work it, make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
This is a podcast from Patriots.com. For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com. Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you are listening to the last draft prospect review on April 30th, the last day of April. We have the PFW writers Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, and Andy Hart. Giving you all the latest that happened with the draft. So what actually went on, guys?
Patriots picked some guys.
Nice.
That's how the draft works.
It was a good time.
It was a fun draft because one reason. They took a linebacker. They actually took two of them. And for those of us that have been calling, they took three?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
And I think you guys had some right opinions.
Yes. PFW had a very good draft weekend, I think. A lot of the guys we talked about, the team actually selected for a change. They still, you know, they slipped a Matthew Slater in here or there that none of us had ever heard of. But, you know, we'll start at the top. Actually, let me run down all the picks real quick, and then we'll sort of discuss them. Linebacker Gerard Mayo, they took at number 10 after trading down a few spots. Cornerback Terrence Wheatley, they took in the second round, number 62 overall. Linebacker Sean Crable, their first selection on day two, the third round, 78th pick. Quarterback Kevin O'Connell in the third round at number 4 overall. A little bit of a head scratcher, we'll get to that in a minute. Defensive back Jonathan Wilhite, the fourth round, 129 overall. As I said, wide receiver Matthew Slater in the fifth round, 153 overall. They traded up to get him. And their final selection of the day came in round 6, 197 overall, Bo Rude from the famous Rude football family out in Nebraska. There's six of them, and he's the latest. But let's start at the top. Gerard Mayo, they traded down a few spots, saved a little money, $4 to $5 million in guaranteed, but they got their big, fast, smart, athletic inside linebacker of the future. Paul Perillo, analyze.
Well, I think the trade obviously made a lot of sense. It's one that we kind of talked about, not necessarily a specific 7 to 10 kind of deal, but we thought that New Orleans, Cincinnati might be teams that were willing partners. We didn't think the big trade to get down around 20,
right?
Was going to unfold. So that didn't really take us too much by surprise. And then the fact that Mayo was the target, some people wondered maybe was that a little bit too high. I agree with Andy's philosophy of you needed a linebacker, you needed an athletic linebacker. This is the guy that you liked. Maybe he was supposed to go 15 or 14 or whatever. I don't know. I don't think it was a reach at all. And I keep saying the same thing. I keep falling back to what Mel Kiper told our Andy Hart, Eric.
Yes.
Keith Rivers is scheduled to be a top 10 pick.
Yep.
Gerard Mayo was scheduled to be somewhere around 20. There's no way there's any difference
there.
Not
much difference. Yep.
Close that gap up. And obviously Bill thought the same way because Keith Rivers went 9 to Cincinnati and Mayo went 10 to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mayo was tracking up the last few weeks. He had a lot
now,
of
Now, was
up
that
arrows
tracking and, up in your mind or in the Andy Hart arrow system on the blog?
You know, he might have been all over the place with the Andy Hart arrows.
Yeah. I might have gone one too many with the arrows on Andy Hart because I just got the blanks.
Was it an 87-degree angle or was it a direct
look? Well, it's 45. Don't mock the system. It's 45-degree angles.
Oh, okay.
Don't mock the system.
Okay, I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, Mayo was I like the Mayo pick. I mean, the more I learn about him, the better I like it too, because he seems like he's got not just the physical tools, which obviously you need to be a first round pick, but he seems to be more of a student of the game. He seems to catch on very quickly to new schemes, and he's going to have to do that here because predominantly at Tennessee they ran a 4-3 where he played off the line. But Bill even indicated in his press conference that he's most likely going to be in one of the two off the line spots here in the 3-4, which is in the middle. And they did have a couple of packages at Tennessee that included the 3-4, but that's something he's going to have to learn. And he loves film work. I talked to his position coach the other day. Loves to stay in and do the extra work that's needed. So one of his greatest quotes was, "I think he could come back here and coach the position better than I could." So
no wonder Tennessee always underachieves.
But that's the kind of guy I think that, and I think you're going to hear things like that, characteristics like that, for a lot of these guys the Patriots drafted this year. We heard a lot about that with Wheatley as well.
Yep.
Certainly, as you moved on further in the draft, Bo Rude is the same kind of guy, was always watching film. So I think it was interesting to see, you know, not only they went defense, they obviously targeted defense and speed, but, you know, character – the whole football important cliche that that we hear all the time. A lot of these guys have those characteristics.
I was going to say, Bill sort of gave everybody the theme to the draft, quite obviously. Defense, get younger and faster. But I would also throw in there smarter, because you're right, Paul. All these guys, people you talk to about them, Bill talking about them, rave about their film work, their intelligence. And I'm talking on the football field, not necessarily you know, off of it. But the two things I'll say with Mayo before we move on is, first of all, I'm going with the theory is they never took one before the fifth round. If Bill sees a guy that he values as the number 10 overall pick,
good enough for me.
The guy's got to be pretty good and he should have a very bright future in this defense.
I agree.
And number two, talking about his fit inside, I go back to something Rob Ryan told me at the Combine, former Patriots linebackers coach, when I asked him about the trouble finding inside linebackers for the 3-4 high in the draft that fans have been lusting after. And he said, well, the problem is you have to have Einstein, but you have to have a tough Einstein. And it sounds like this guy, Mayo, fits that, you know, fills that bill in that he is intelligent, all that, but is tough, will knock you out, can run, seems to be the total package. So I'm as intrigued about Mayo as I've been about, you know, any pick since Chad Jackson, and we all know how that turned out. So we'll move on to the second round, and this is my guy out of the University of Colorado, Terrence Wheatley, defensive back, flat out can fly, 4.3 type speed, 4.37 at the combine. Has actually been timed 4.29 at other times. So a guy who definitely has the speed, smaller, a true Patriot-type cornerback in that he's 5'9", 180 pounds. Very productive. I think he had 14 interceptions in his career at Colorado. Some people believe he reached. Some had him rated as a third, fourth, fifth-round pick. But you look, the Dallas Cowboys were very interested in him. And everything I read out of Dallas is they were interested in him as a second-slash-third-round pick. So it might not be quite the reach everyone's projecting it as. But the biggest thing that jumps out of his bio and out of his history, missed the 2005 season in a medical hardship, has had major wrist issues starting in the spring of 2005. I believe he had four surgeries, had to have a rod placed in his arm. It's a foot-long rod, and it was titanium. Sort of fused his wrist, essentially, so his wrist doesn't really bend. Actually broke that rod in the 2006 season while playing, played through the pain, had it replaced. Now has a stainless steel rod because the unbreakable titanium broke. But he's played with it for a couple years now, had 10 interceptions in that time, returns kicks for them. So while it appears to be an issue, he's shown on the college level, at least, that he can play through whatever limitations he has. Talk about the pick, Paul Perillo.
Well, I really like the player. My only concern would be exactly what you talked about, Andy, and that's the, you know, the situation with the wrist.
Actually,
and, you know,
carries a handicap card.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would worry about, you know, the long-term durability of having that kind of a situation with the wrist. Now, when you talk about this guy as a player and what you watch, what we all watched, I think that we were pretty impressed with him.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He has definite return ability, as Andy pointed out. Great speed, good hands. He's a playmaker. He seems to recognize the routes pretty quickly. I mean, he was in the right place. His tape was pretty impressive. Then you look at, you know, where you know, as Andy pointed out, some of the draft experts thought he would go. It had to be because of the medical,
right?
Because he was slated as a fifth or sixth round pick. So that's my only concern here. I think this guy can play. And then you listen to him on his conference call. He sounded like a coach. The way he talked about football and the way he talked about preparing and all that stuff, it wasn't like you were talking to a 22 or whatever-year-old kid. You were talking to an experienced coach. So another one of these high-character guys the Patriots seem to target this year.
Yeah, I share your guys' concern about the stability of the wrist. But one thing I'd like to do is go back and look a little bit more in depth at his statistics from when he broke the rod in his wrist. It was about halfway through the season. And to see if his productivity fell off at all. Or if he was able to play at the same level with that, because that might be a good indication of whether or not that could be an issue from here on out.
And one positive there is he kept that pretty quiet. He broke it and just sort of played through it. He's clearly a tough guy. You know, he's had he had a foot injury last year, came back from that. So
he's not afraid to play with pain.
Despite the medical red flag because of the wrist, he's also a guy that's going to play through pain and fight through some things and work out there. I spoke with his position coach last night, raved about him for 15 or 20 minutes, thinks he's pro-ready, won't have a problem picking up the system, played inside for them 2 years ago, then was their left corner this past year. He thinks he'll come right in and could immediately be a nickel corner. Coach Brown has experienced the NFL 15 years, coached the Saints DBs as recently as a couple years ago, and said when he was in New Orleans, this guy could have come right in and started for them. right away. We know their defense stinks, but still, it's, you know, nice to say that he could come right in and start. Thinks he's a big play guy, a playmaker who will be in the mold of Asante Samuel, make some plays for this team. So only good things to say from the, you know, his position coach.
One last question for you, Andy. Do we know if the medical hardship was a result of all those wrist injuries?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he had
it wasn't something else.
He had spring surgery. It wouldn't recover. He had to have a few more surgeries. So it was all that whole continuation of the wrist issue. But I'll be intrigued to see how he comes in. Not only plays on defense with the wrist and jamming receivers and all that, but also returning kicks. And we know here they teach you to catch the ball not as a cradled basket catch, but with both hands up above your head. We see him work on that a lot. To me, that's intriguing to see how a guy with a fused wrist will handle that. But we'll get our first chance this weekend. Moving on to the next pick, and I promise these will get shorter as we go along. Sean Crable, linebacker, Michigan. Sort of a one-year wonder, but certainly looks the part, has the size, 6'5", 243, has the athleticism, has freakishly long arms, like someone in our graphics department up here at Gillette Stadium. And, Paul, talk about Sean Crable.
Well, before we even get into Crable, we probably should point out that this is where really the Belichick trading, wheeling and dealing really started. This was they traded with San Diego. They had a pick early in the third round that they got from Oakland last year.
Yep.
They traded with San Diego, picked up a second-round pick in 09.
Very good trade.
And swapped spots with the
fans.
The Chargers
happy,
went down
to
78. And according to Bill Belichick, the guy they were going to take anyway was Sean Crable.
They were on the phone with
him. They were on the phone with him, and then Scott informed him that San Diego was interested in making a trade. He hung up the phone with Crable. They got the deal worked out with San Diego, and they were fortunate enough to have Crable still available, whatever it was, like about 8 picks later or
something like that.
It wasn't that big of a drop there, down to 78. I like Crable a lot. I think that he is one of those guys that made an impact on Michigan's defense. He showed up, made a lot of plays, comes off the edge. I think he's one of those real pass-rushing types. It'll be interesting to see if he can do some of the other things that he'll have to be able to do here in terms of dropping in coverage, maybe fanning out a little bit more, setting the edge on the run, things like that. Because obviously, in order to do outside linebacker in New England, you're going to have to do all of those things well.
And yeah, let's be honest, in theory, if things pan out, he probably doesn't have to contribute right away as Mayo is likely
to. No, I think they could probably just send him after the quarterback.
If you get Seau back, who by all reports is coming to town to have a physical, could be back in the mix, that gives you guys to rotate inside, a couple old guys and a youngster. That allows you to keep Vrabel and Adalis Thomas on the outside, and Crable might be able to just sort of mix in where he fits in rather than be forced into something as a rookie. So I think he might be, you know, a little bit a year down the road or two down the road before he's truly an every down part of the defense.
Yeah, I think he's an intriguing pick also because of his size. I think it might have been Willie McGinnis was the last time we had an outside linebacker of 6'5", 250 almost.
You like tall drinks of water, do you?
Well, you know, for the outside, it's just,
well, I mean,
it's kind of a,
he's tall,
kind of a luxury to have.
He's tall and thin. I mean, Vrabel's pretty tall too, but he's a little much heavier. He's like 280.
Thomas and Vrabel are much heavier, but I would assume Crable is a guy. He looks like he has the frame where he could probably put on.
Oh,
10,
he's very thin,
right?
And that's why
years.
I think that some of the fans. You said the fans weren't happy about it, Andy, and we talked about this on PFW.
Part of it was Dan Connor.
It's a totally different player. They got Mayo.
Right.
Was the inside linebacker. So, to put two inside linebackers, that doesn't make any sense to me. This guy plays a whole different position than Dan Connor. And that's not a slam on Connor. He's, a fine player in his own right. But I think that's one of the things that really stuck out to everybody was Bill kept saying Pierre Woods. And I think that, and this is where I disagree with you and Tom a little bit. I kept thinking that Bill was saying Pierre Woods purely based on the body size, the body type, tall, thin. I don't think he was comparing them as players whatsoever.
Well, let's hope not.
So people think that they drafted a guy in the third round that won't play for 3 years the way Pierre Woods
hasn't. Yeah, exactly. Pierre Woods, for all his inabilities that he's shown so far in the field, was a rookie free agent. Let's not forget. He wasn't even a draft pick.
Right.
Crable, a third-round pick, you've got to assume that he's got at least more potential to make a contribution quicker and maybe even better than Woods.
Sure. We should say, we all agreed on the Mayo pick. We all loved the pick. We all sort of agreed on the Wheatley pick in that we were surprised, thought maybe it was a little bit of a reach.
Like the player, thought it was a reach because of the medical.
The Crable is where we sort of started to go in different directions. I think the three of us really liked the pick, liked what we saw from him, were intrigued by his size.
I really like Crable.
Tom, not a big Crable fan, didn't think he showed up enough at Michigan, sort of disappeared. Really, in his pre-draft stuff on Patriots.com, wanted to pass on this. So we sort of differed there. Then we also sort of differed on the next pick here with quarterback Kevin O'Connell, who the first person to lust after him was one, Eric Scalavino.
Well, I think lust is a very strong
I think
term.
It's appropriate. You fell in love with him at the combine. Phenomenal combine, mm-hmm. phenomenal athlete, total package, run, throw. I've been likening to him to another Eric Scalavino favorite in Ben Roethlisberger in that he he runs when he has to, and he had to at San Diego because they stunk.
He was the team's leading rusher twice. Right. Yeah.
But he was very open on his conference call saying, I ran because I had to in the NFL. Right. I want to throw.
Exactly.
But he has the ability to run to get himself in position to throw, and that's what intrigues me.
It's really amazing when you watch his film to see you don't really see quarterbacks that athletic, like moving around, especially when they roll out and him trying to get out of situations.
Especially at 6'5".
At his, exactly. That's where I was going with that. 6'5", 225. I mean, it's really freakish. Some of the scouts when we were at the combine were comparing him, because for lack of anyone else to compare to, Vince Young and his athletic ability.
Yep.
But even were saying that he already at this point had a better feel for reading defenses and coverages than Young did at the time when he was coming out. But, yeah, really like the O'Connell pick. I think it's the right time for the Patriots to try to find that quality backup who maybe, if he is the right player in a few years, can potentially take over for Brady if Brady decides to leave or retire or gets hurt or whatever. And I think of all the guys they've brought in before, Castle, Gutierrez, even some of the other veterans, I think this kid, O'Connell, has the potential to be that player that could potentially, if Brady goes down or needs to be replaced, he could come in and maybe do an effective job.
Yeah, I love the pick because I think they really needed to have a legitimate backup quarterback in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been playing with fire the last couple of years, you know, with two quarterbacks on the roster at times, and then other times having, you know, with one of those being an inexperienced guy in Matt Castle. If you had two quarterbacks and, you know, one of them was, you know, a Damon Heward type, then I wouldn't be nearly as concerned. I think this guy, maybe not immediately, maybe it'll take him a little while, but I think he eventually is a solid backup to Tom Brady, and then who knows, depending on how long Brady sticks around, maybe this guy is the man of the future. The thing that stuck out to me is what Eric pointed out. You watched him run on film, and he never ran without a purpose. He ran because it was the right thing to do. He ran because a play broke down or because a coverage wasn't there or whatever he was looking for. He ran with a purpose. He didn't just rack up a lot of yards on, you know, quick end arounds like Michael Vick, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of running for the sake of running. He ran with a purpose, and this guy is a terrific athlete.
And one other important note I think we should make about O'Connell and his potential. With Gutierrez and Castle, they both came in having really basically not played at all significantly since high school and were sort of like, they were sort of like a futures project. O'Connell not only was a great high school player, he started 4 years at San Diego State and was a captain all four of those years at San Diego State. That's almost unheard of in football.
Right.
So,
on a bad team.
On a horrible team.
That's the one thing I will say. And even Bill gave him an out there saying behind a terrible offensive line.
Had
some injuries in 06, but you're right. Had he not been hurt that year, he would have been, you know, almost a four-year starter there. Very productive. 46 touchdowns, 34 interceptions. I think some people point to that and say, well, those numbers aren't great. But I think on a bad team, he was
playing
a good
from
player.
Behind all the time.
Rushed for 11 TDs last year.
Yeah, I'm willing to overlook some of the negative stats there based on the production.
Right. He's going to have a lot better talent around him now. And I will say this, I think he's going to be a star in the preseason here. I think fans are going to fall in love with physical skills and athleticism. Next pick in the fourth round, 129 overall, Jonathan Wilhite. And the question with him is, will height matter? 5'11", 185 out of Auburn.
I got to give him credit for that. That was a good one.
He's an audience of one himself.
This one, another bit of a surprising pick. Not a highly rated guy. He's one of those guys you turn to draft guides to find his bio, and they don't have him. They only include him in, like, the rest of lists elsewhere in the publication. Paul, talk about him because he's your guy.
I'm going to respectfully decline here because I don't know a whole lot about him. He's not my guy.
Actually, he's my guy.
Oh, he's your guy.
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys, huh?
Go ahead. My cross to bear. But, no, the one thing I'm really most looking forward to is I'm hearing a lot about how funny this kid is and how well he does impressions. And
I'd
love for him to get in trouble on his first day and try to make fun of Coach Bill Belichick.
And we're going
to
do our best to publicize that because if the other players find out, they'll make him do it in training camp. They do impression shows and rookie entertainment shows.
And I will say then, you know, in taking the Fred Kirsch role of finding the positive, I'll say, good for team morale.
Maybe we'll make him Pat Patriot down
keep
the
everybody
road.
On the, you know, loose and, nope. and fun-loving. Good
but
for
guys,
team morale.
How you doing? I'm a big fan.
but seriously, in talking to a couple of his former coaches at Auburn, they wouldn't come out and obviously they're not going to knock one of their players, but in reading between the lines, the impression I got was that he tends to get burnt a little bit.
Oh, good.
Deep.
Fit right in.
Deep coverage stuff. In short space, in confined space, he's quick and he's great. But they said the way they phrased it was he has great recovery speed.
So he's a slot corner.
Which to me means that if you put him on the outside and he gets burnt, he can maybe try to catch up and make up for it. But in the NFL, you got a lot of guys who can run a lot faster than
tells me he's going to play in the slot if he's good and shifty and can play in that space and not have to go deep.
And that's where his coaches said he would probably excel if he were to make it in the NFL, would be as a slot number three or four corner. So
you did it, Eric. For the first time, I've heard something I like about Jonathan Wilhite, and now I'm intrigued to see what he can do in the preseason playing in the slot. Keep him away from the outside of the field, and maybe he'll be okay. Next pick. The shocker, the stunner, Jackie Slater's son, Matthew. Patriots traded up in the fifth round, 153 overall, to get a guy who the Patriots have listed as a wide receiver but has played corner, safety, and by most accounts is simply a special teamer.
He doesn't really have a position.
Kick returner, right. According to his own punter, which, take this for what it's worth, he's the greatest special teamer that's ever played the game.
At any level.
At any level.
Right.
But talk about the pick, Eric. I know you're in love with special teamers. You're a former kicker yourselves, and you really appreciate the third phase of the game.
Well, it's interesting because, they brought in Kelly Washington,
yep.
who definitely was a wide receiver. That was his position. But he ended up becoming the special team star, almost sort of taking over for Larry Izzo in that role. Who's still here. And then they go and sign Sam Aiken, the free agent from Buffalo, who by all accounts was a special teamer.
Yes.
And now they go and trade up in the fifth round to get a guy who, like you said, played so many positions on both sides that he became known as just a special teamer. My question is there room on this team for three or four guys who are just special teams guys?
I think he'd have to be extremely impressive, in my opinion.
I agree. But I think Willie Anders is a guy who we all knew didn't really have much of a role on defense.
Nope.
So he was on this team.
And he got in some off-field trouble, and that might be the difference.
I agree. I think this guy. Now, as I said earlier this week on PFW in Progress, he needs to be impressive. I mean, as Bill says, if you can only do one thing, and that's special teams, you need to be really good at it. So it'll be interesting to see if he stands out in special teams, in the preseason, in training camp. Is he just a freak athlete that you can put on the field and feel comfortable with a roster spot for a guy who's not going to play receiver, not going to play DB, not really going to help you anywhere else except special teams?
But he sounds like he's the kind of guy that Belichick always looks for, in that if you tell him play here or play there or play on the other side of the ball, he doesn't care. He just wants to play. So
and
wherever
it'd be a
you
great
tell him
practice
to.
Guy because he'll play scout team on offense, scout team on defense. You know, he's experienced both.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say if he does make the team, he is the odds-on favorite to win the black shirt.
I agree.
Practice player of the week shirt almost every week.
It's true if he can't practice.
If he decides he wants to play football this week or this year.
Oh, he had some injuries.
That's a concern.
He thought about giving up the game to just do track. That's what we should say. He's a track guy, very fast, track speed. Don't think Jackie Slater's son and think of this big, you know, dude.
Yeah, he's not a lineman.
5'11", 180-something pounds, whatever it is. Or 6'0". Sure he is. 6'0", 198. I'm going 5'11 there. But the final pick.
He only went 36-yard dash,
yes,
too.
Exactly.
Final pick. As I said earlier, the famous Rambling Rude family out of Nebraska. Sixth generation Cornhuskers football player, Bo Rude. Fans might recognize the name. I know we talked about Barrett, his brother, who is with the Buccaneers, when he was coming out as a potential Patriot. 6'3", 235, another film room rat.
Yes.
Says he studied more film than anyone in college football. Sort of learned that growing up with his brother and the whole football family. Probably going to be struggling to make the roster, I would
He'll
think.
He'll have a tough time.
Inside linebacker, smart guy, probably will make it hard to be cut, do enough things in the preseason, maybe a practice squad guy. But, Paul, you're working on the Rude feature. Why don't you tell us about
him? Yeah, his defensive coordinator from Nebraska, Kevin Cosgrove. Obviously, everything that Andy just said would lead you to believe that a coach is going to speak in glowing terms about the player. Hard worker, great leader, great character, blah, 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 on and on and on. Just didn't have a bad thing to say about the person or the player.
Great personality.
All around. Just, you know, very hardworking kid, very respectful. The thing that kind of struck me here, and this is a guy who played weak side and strong side linebacker at Nebraska. He took over his senior year for Stuart Bradley, who left. The year before, he was a third-round pick of Philadelphia. He was a very good coverage linebacker, which I don't think a lot of guys coming out of college can say that. This guy made some plays in the passing game. He did rush the passer occasionally, but more often than not, in the nickel package, he was asked to drop and fill roles in coverage. So I think that some of those skills might make him somewhat attractive. Now, look, it's a sixth-round guy, 197 overall. As Andy said, his odds are long to make the team. But his brother Barrett is doesn't have anything athletically on him, according to Cosgrove. There was some, you know, Barrett is bigger and stronger, but athletically, this guy is every bit the equal, if not better. He said he had more range than Barrett did. So I wouldn't necessarily completely close the door, but I think Andy's characterization is correct. He's got long odds.
Oh, especially when you consider the linebacking core and the
age. Well, that's what we're talking
about. So, yeah, I mean, he definitely is a long shot, but it will be interesting to see how he, especially when he compares with Crable being on the field and seeing how, you know, who might have the edge there. Just
Crable.
That's what you would think. But, you know, you never know until you get the guy on the field.
Well, I think this guy will be in the inside. I mean, and Crable will be on the outside. So that, you know, might not necessarily be the comparison. But
you see him going inside.
Well, I would think, yeah. But, you know, I mean, what do I know? I'm not a football coach. We'll see what Bill
I mean,
Bill
no
thinks.
Disrespect in this, but I see him going into coaching in a couple of years. Sounds like the guy who's going to make a perfect high school or college football coach.
There was a little bit of disrespect there.
No, loves the game. I think he'll be a phenomenal coach. I think he was a coach on the field, and now he'll be a coach on the sideline at some point. A few odds and ends,
too. I hope he makes the team now, just for
that. I hope he does, too. I love people named Bo. Everybody
knows
that. Bo knows football.
And you're rude.
A lot of times I end up doing the guys, you know, for the profiles that are the later picks, the sixth and seventh round picks, and I always, you know, I get off the phone with the coaches, and I'm like, yeah, this guy's got a shot. And I'll tell you, a lot of them have stuck around. Willie Andrews was one of the guys that got off the phone with the coach, and I said, don't sell this guy short. Now, he's still here, and, you know, if he didn't get arrested, he'd probably still be here. Who knows? I don't want to close the book on these guys until I see them play.
All right. Some odds and ends to clean up before we throw it back to Lori. Tim Mixon.
Thank you for tuning in to PFW in Progress.
Well, you just kept going forever.
25% right here.
Tim Mixon
that on you.
Reportedly
I just went on forever.
Released. TJ Slaughter, we hardly knew ye, and I never saw ye.
Never saw ye.
Was signed and now reportedly released, according to the Boston Globe. Lots of players will be here this weekend on either a undrafted free agent or rookie tryout basis. We're not going to report on those. The team does not officially release those until the start of rookie minicamp on Friday. The first-round pick, O.J.
Gerard
Mayo. Basketball player. Gerard Mayo will be here on Thursday for the ever-famous photo opportunity. Then Friday, Saturday, we'll have rookie minicamp. We will be doing podcasts over both days' practices, so it'll be our first chance to see these guys. We'll get a chance to see Matt Slater, see if he's a great athlete, if he's going to get it done. Matt Slater will be here along with Gerard Mayo and many other of the rookies. It'll be an exciting weekend. We urge you to tune in for the podcast because we will have our first and honest assessments of how this draft is going to turn out down the road, and we'll have, again, the full list of undrafted free agents, tryout players. Should we try to make this a 45-minute podcast?
No.
We got anything else we want to talk about?
So how long are we going?
Is that about do
Gary
it?
Just said.
Is that about do it? And anything else? You want to throw anything else out there?
I think we're good.
Corey, you got anything to tease? Cheerleaders,
no,
chit chats coming up.
We got plenty to tease.
Plenty, but we're
just a big tease.
I am not. Anyway, join us on
She'll
Friday.
Give up.
Stop! No, that was uncalled for.
Inappropriate.
Join us on Friday for a rookie mini camp podcast. Thanks for listening to the last Draft Prospect Review podcast.
Thank God.
Go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.
So how long are we going here?